Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
The drive is live.
Well, it is, and I said it from the top. This is easily the most beautiful, perfect weather day of this month, of the season. And we're here outside enjoying it. Come see us and enjoy it with us. Sean Bajani, that is me. Brandon Scott, a.k.a. B. Scott, a.k.a. Badass B. Scott.
Appreciate that.
Is here. And we're just out here talking about the most important things in Houston sports life, enjoying the best weather you could possibly enjoy at Popstroke. I don't know how many holes this is. I forgot to ask, but it has to be like 27 to 36 holes. It's a Tiger Woods designed mini golf course, and it is about the best thing going this side of Katy. The beer is flowing. The food is absolutely amazing. We just ordered a couple of double smash burgers with fries and a pickle and beers, and it's a.k.a. food porn.
Yeah, no, our break can't come soon enough, but they didn't come for that. They came to hear us. And honestly, I'm just going to be real with y'all. Come out here for the mini golf. Come out here for the weather, even if it's not just us. We just happen to be out here, and we're having a good time. We're going to be talking. You know what's funny about the weather and us kind of leading with that? It's like I wish, Bajani, honestly, man, I wish we felt as good about Houston sports right now as we feel right now outside in this weather, out here at this, as you mentioned, Tiger Woods designed mini golf course. Like, the feeling that we have right now as we sit here is not, I don't feel like, consistent with the feeling that we have about our Houston sports teams that we're going to talk about today.
No, and it's been the story for literally the last week or so. Beginning with the Astros, you know, incredible, like, not forecasted slide to end the regular season and totally not forecasted start to the Houston Texans season, which, I mean, you're not even a month into it, and it's like skies falling, ceilings caving in, it's football Armageddon. But, hey, guess what? Unfortunately, because you don't play 82 games in an NFL season or a 162, you play 17. It's that way for a reason. Historically speaking, you should feel like absolute hot garbage right now after 0-3.
Yeah.
Because only six teams in the history of the game since 1979 have made the playoffs after such a horrid start.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, for me, it's not like we're not far enough into it. And certainly if they lose this game, we're having a different conversation. And I think most of us feel like they're going to be able to beat the Titans at home. But for me, it's not as much of a mathematical thing that's got me down on the team, that's got me down on their chances, that's got me down on what they could be relative to what we thought they could be going into the season. It's not the mathematics of it all. It's not the even just the 0-3. I was just talking to you about this before we started the show. They were supposed to win that game. The Jags were – they put that game on a – they did all but gift wrap that game to the Texans that they could not win, the reason why they're 0-3. But they could have won the game, been 1-2, and I would have come away from the game feeling pretty awful about the team still, is particularly the offense. And so it's not just – my point being, it's not just the 0-3 start. It's the look of it. It's the vibe of it. It's the feeling that – you know, after the first two games, we were able to say, hey, they played against two really good teams. They played against a Rams team that looks like it's really good. They played against a Bucks. They played against two playoff teams, and they had a chance to win the game. They have only lost one score game so far.
Yeah.
But to look so bad against such another bad team and to have very few to little, I would say little to no redeeming qualities. We talked about this as well. Little to no redeeming qualities on offense has you in a space where you're like, man, even if they were to win this game, even if they were to win the last game, it's not the mathematics. It's the way that it looks. It's the way that they play, or in some cases don't play, that's got you really down on the Texans season so far.
100%. Everybody's kind of, I would say, worst case scenario has kind of come to fruition, though. Like, to start this season, you knew, and it was the biggest story of the offseason, after the two of which, arguably, you had the best one in the entire NFL offseason.
Yeah.
This one is very questionable. It's like, dude, you just went 10-7 back-to-back years, and you're about to enter into that confirmation year that could make C.J. Stroud the highest-paid quarterback, highest-paid player in NFL history. Like, that's what we were looking at. And the offensive line, they decided to, like, Oppenheimer that stuff. And I watched that movie last night, by the way. I just wanted to use that.
About time.
Really good. Oh, it was a really good movie. Hi, Tyler. How are you, sir?
Good, man. Good.
They blew up the offensive line, which was like, whoa. This is the most pivotal season in the franchise's history. And you're going to do this? And, oh, by the way, you know you're not going to have Tank Dell. You don't have a Stephon Diggs. You know, yeah, Christian Kirk. Okay, cool. Whatever. Just nothing has aligned up. What? And I would question, and I would die on this hill and tell you that I could count probably on one hand, B. Scott, how many times everything has actually aligned now in 2 years plus three games where you had your best players healthy on the field together. I know it's football, but at least it happens for some teams, man.
Yeah.
Like the San Francisco 49ers a few years ago said they could do that. You know what I mean? The Kansas City Chiefs seemingly always do that. The Baltimore Ravens, not a problem. Like, you're not in the conversation of any of these teams right now. You're still a wannabe. You're still a pretender.
Well, all of it, for me, speaks to the makeup of the team. And so, from there, you got to go all the way up to the top. And this is the heart of the issue for me, is that everywhere where they decided to make a drastic change, I think you can justify all of the changes that they made, and specifically with the offensive line. I thought that they had to do something. Now, what they ended up doing, I think you can could have fairly questioned at the time. I know a lot of us did, and can fairly question now, obviously, with the performance that we've seen so far. But the issue for me is that everywhere it seems like they made a drastic change, they downgraded. And that's the issue. Like, you can make the drastic change, but look, it's got to work. It's got to make sense. And aside from just playing the results and whether it works or not, but can you logically justify the moves that they made? And I know Ron has mentioned this on this show of like, hey, say it out loud. Hey, we're going to bring in another first year play caller and dismiss the guy that would be a third year play caller because there were some issues or whatever the case may be, because we downgraded from the previous season or didn't play as well as we did that first season. We're gonna replace him with a first-year play caller. We're going to get rid of the only good offensive lineman. Say whatever you want about the culture fit and whatever you thought about the work ethic or the tone setting or the physicality. There were issues with Laremy Tunsil, but he was still clearly their best offensive lineman. You decide that you're not only are you going to remake the offensive line, but you're going to even send out the one guy that was actually good on it and replace him essentially now with a rookie. And like even the C.J. Gardner-Johnson thing, you go over to the news of the week. Hey, our safety's gone. Eric Murray's gone. No big deal. You can replace Eric Murray. We're going to upgrade and go get C.J. Gardner-Johnson, make something out of this failed Kenyon Green experiment. Oh, it turns out that only lasts three games, and you're going to pay him $6 to $8 million. You're going to have to just eat that for three games of poor play from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So Think about that. From offensive play caller and designer to the entire offensive line, and specifically left tackle, but the entire offensive line, and even the safety position, which I don't think any of us necessarily looked at as a weakness, from like to a man or to a position, they have downgraded at all of their significant spots. All of the spots where they have called themselves making significant changes, they have gotten worse.
Yes.
They have gotten worse.
And you know, maybe we should have seen it, but I think we gave ourselves time to justify it and to explain it away. But yeah, maybe we should have seen this coming. Maybe it shouldn't be as surprising or as shocking as it is. But I mean, you got to kind of call it the spade a spade.
I think we did see it coming. I think we just didn't want what we had envisioned in our minds as a pretty good possibility, probability even, would come to fruition. And it has. And, you know, the fact that, like, 0-3 from a historical standpoint, like, basically ends your season already, and you're going to have to do something as a statistical anomaly in the course of NFL history going forward to make this thing right, okay? That bothers me, but it also bothers me in that, is there ever enough time to make such a drastic change like the Houston Texans did, blowing up an offensive line, bringing in a new offensive coordinator, play caller, and not going out and buying, like, new bright, shiny toys to put in your receiver core, or just offensively, period? Like, there were some really good offensive linemen, B-Scott,
yeah,
that the Texans just simply weren't even reported to be on the conversation on. Hey, they cost a lot of money, right? They cost the amount of money that maybe we'd like them to spend on a receiver,
yeah,
or another running back.
But I mean, they spent $14 million on Cam Robinson.
And his ass is on the bench.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And when he plays, it's bad.
And he was one of the last dudes I think they scooped up, like, to play the position, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, how you say that guy's name? Mackie Becton?
Mackay Becton.
Like, wasn't he, like, the most sought-after,
yeah,
lineman on the market?
Well, and I mean, we saw, like, right when S free agency was beginning, we saw early on what the Bears were doing,
yeah,
to address their offensive line. And we're like, hey, would love to be the Bears, would love to be doing that kind of activity.
Yeah, well, and the Bears are in a similar spot that the Houston Texans are right now.
The Chargers went out and got guards.
Yeah, but Bears offense is ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to look at any stat across the board, EPA, points per game, all that good stuff. I mean, it's not good,
right?
And it's translating to what's on the field. I'd like to know, like, how many teams over the course of the last 25, 30 years, give me the last 10, make the research easy, started 0-3 and have given up fewer than 20 points in every game to start the year and have so much promise. Like, from a defensive perspective, you should be, could be 3-0,
yeah,
2-1, but you're not, because your offense is that bad. And then you have to hear in the same breath, in the same time span, your offensive coordinator say, oh, we're close, you know, we're improving. And they have to say all of the things that really aren't true, but to prevent further damning questions, to prevent you throwing your players under the bus, to prevent the media writing stories or talking about things like Diana Rossini is possibly going to be writing about this week. How many days are left in this week?
Yeah, it's Friday. It's a football Friday.
Today is football Friday.
Keep your eyes wide open for Sunday.
Holy crap.
For those Sunday morning news dumps that we get.
We're going to let you hear from Diana Rossini coming up next segment about what she had to say on the Dan Lebatard YouTube show. What do they call it? Scoop City? This feels like it needs to be called Scoop City, like everything in this town, because there's stories galore here in the city of Houston that we don't necessarily like to talk about, but it is the cold, harsh reality that, and I blame myself, a month and a half ago, short time ago, I thought, hey, this would be a great time to talk about potentially the golden age of Houston sports finally getting here. I brought that up in 2017 on a radio show, and then Deshaun Watson's piece of crap ass decided to tear his ACL,
yeah,
in a non-contact injury. And
felt like it in 2019. We kind of had a moment there where we might be in the golden era, and then, of course, you lose the World Series in 7 games, lose all your games at home.
The sports gods, yeah, of Houston, Texas, do not, and I repeat, do not want us to have nice things for very long. That's, yeah, just the way that it is.